All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, January 12th of 2026. Looking ahead here, we have a Monday night football playoff game between the Texans and the Steelers. We have four-game NBA main slate, nine-game NHL slate, and then we also have some tennis this evening as well. So, should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen here. And we will just dive into questions as they get rolling here. So, got a couple questions queued up. We will start there. First question today, is there a way to uncheck a player in one position and the player gets unchecked everywhere? Now I have to go each position and uncheck him there, which is counterintuitive in my mind. Unchecking a player is because I don't want him in the player pool, not just in that position. I prefer a setting uncheck in one position means the player is unchecked everywhere. It will save a lot of time. Okay, good question. So, yes, you can do this on, like, say, a classic slate. So probably easiest to demo this on NBA tonight. Eight game had a, this is like an alternative solution saying I just changed their projection to zero. That would work. You know, you're not going to get a zero projected player in any lineup spot. So that is like an alternative solution. The way I would recommend doing this though, is to do this in the all tab. Okay. So each of these spots actually correlates to a lineup. So like if I go in here, and where's the lineup stub? So let's do this. Let's build 500 lineups real quick. Let's make this easier. All right. So we're gonna build some lineups. That way we can properly dissect what's going on here. This will just take a second. All right, lineups are just about finished. All right, so we can just open up our pool for this. So each of these slots, these different, you know, columns or tabs or whatever you want to call them, correlate to your lineup, right? So there's point guards, shooting guards, small forward, power forward, centers, guards, flex, guards, forwards, and then utility. That's what all of these are. So some people like to go through these like, hey, I want to look at my point guards. I want to look at my shooting guards, et cetera, here, right? Well, one thing that can happen is that players, I'm going to bring this column over, can have what's called multi-positional eligibility. Hey, I could play Derek White in the point guard or the shooting guard spot. What this user is asking is, hey, I want to uncheck him, but I want it to be for all of his available positions, not just the point guards, right? I've talked to people who like the opposite, like, hey, I don't want to play this guy as a point guard. I only want to play him as a shooting guard. So there's kind of a different use case for like all of these different things. But the way to capture all of their available positions is to do this in the all tab. So what I would do is uncheck Derek White in the all. This will cover, and you can see his positions even update, right? Hey, this guy can go into the point guard, the shooting guard, the guard, and the utility spot. If I uncheck him here, that gets rid of all of his available positions. Now, the one counter someone might have is like, okay, but I like to go through the positions and uncheck them, and then I don't want to have to constantly be going back to the all tab to uncheck them, right? There is an easier way of doing this, in my opinion, than going through the individual roster spots. Use the position column. Well, first go to the all tab, use the position column, right click on it. Then you can still do the same thing. Hey, I only want to look at point guards. Okay, great. I'm looking at players who only have point guard eligibility as well as other positions, but primarily point guard. Now, when I uncheck Derek White, I'm still in the all tab. It will cover all of his available positions. So I can still go position by position here. I'm going to switch to my power forwards, but now I will be capturing all of them at once. So using the all, right-clicking on position is going to serve you better than going individually, unless you have opinions about, hey, I want to play a guy in the point guard, but not the shooting guard or something like that. So that is what I would do. All right, next question. This question, I might need to elaborate a little bit, but I thought it was a pretty good office hours question. So someone was asking, I've tried to find this somewhere, but can I actually look at the exposures applied to 100% of the contest the lineups apply to? There's a little context here. They're basically saying, hey, if you apply, say, a 50% minimum exposure, kind of how does that work? And that's where this question originated. So I thought this would be a good office hours topic. So let's say that I apply a 50% minimum exposure to Donovan Mitchell. And then I build my line. So the first part of that is, okay, well, how does the 50% exposure get applied? So it gets applied twofold. Number one, it gets applied to, in this, to your lineup pool. We're building 500 lineups. So when we go to generate the 500, we know that you are requesting 50% of those lineups to have Mitchell. So the first thing we're going to do is make sure that we have a 50% minimum for our pool of lineups that have Mitchell. And we see that here, right? Our pool exposure is 50%. Now the second fold, we said it's twofold, right? The second place this would get applied is in our individual groups. Now, if you have more than one group, remember that the exposures get sent to each group individually. So 50% is getting sent to group one, and then 50% is getting sent to group two. I can go and I can find Mitchell, and then I can see that he's still in 50%, okay? So I'm just going to use one group here, though, but I just want to mention that exposures get sent to each group individually. Okay, so I'm back in one group. So the 50% is getting applied to the 20 lineups. That's the exposure column, right? It even says the number of lineups. Hey, you have 50% exposure to Mitchell, which is 10, and that 10 is out of 20. And then we have 56% Mitchell in our pool, which is 310 lineups of all the lineups in our pool. Now, the original question here for office hours was, how do you view just those lineups, right? Well, what you would want to do, use this plus filter on Mitchell. It's going to zone in on the lineups. That's it. So a couple things happen here. Number one, we see that there is a 10 parentheses 20 in our lineup group. That's saying, hey, we are zoning in on just the 10 lineups that have Mitchell. We are ignoring the other 20, the other 10 of the 20. Same thing for the pool. Hey, we're going to zone in on the 310. We're going to ignore the rest, right? We can see these numbers updating here. Our group opens, and then we see that we have the green highlight on Mitchell here. Like, hey, you're looking for Mitchell. He's right here in this lineup. And then we can scroll, and then this is just going to be 10 lineups. So what the last thing that's happening here is that in the player table, the exposures update as well. Instead of having 50% Mitchell, I now see 100% because it zoned in on the 10. So it's saying, hey, you have 10 lineups with Mitchell. That makes his exposure 100%. Well, these are how the lineups look that have him, right? The lineups that have him have 80% Powell, 80% Pritchard, 70% Gafford, et cetera, right? We can see this all the way down the list. So that is how you kind of zone in on lineups and how the exposures get applied. All right. Good one there. Next question. Do you personally use SaberSims projections or do you use projections from somewhere else and just use it for the opto? Good question. I use SaberSim projections. That is basically for all sports. For NBA, I will adjust projections slightly. I've talked about that in some content I've done on YouTube, just basically trying to find sources of edge. I don't really do that outside of NBA. For NFL, I use SaberSim baseline projections. For MLB, use SaberSim baseline projections. So we have really good data scientists, really good guys on our model team that spend a lot of time backtesting and improving the models each and every year. So I would continue to rely on them, and I think that they do good stuff. All right, next question. In late swap, why is it that I'm getting different number of lineups each time, even though there was only two games remaining with same players remaining? Also, the same possible lineups aren't showing each rebuild. Questions like this are a little bit more troubleshooty. You know, it's really hard to just like hear about a problem and know what's going on. So to tell you the truth, I'm not sure exactly why you're seeing what you're seeing. For questions like this, I would really recommend going to the top right corner, going to report a problem, writing the same description you wrote. This will send information about what's going on in your session to our team to review, and we will be able to further dissect why something's happening. We'll either be able to explain it to you or we'll be able to tell you, hey, this shouldn't be happening. And that'll allow us to pass that to our engineers to fix. So that's what I would do in this case. All right. Ryan said, Andrew, what has the SaberSim data said over the last few months about the improvements of contest sims for portfolio versus what used to be? Yeah. So as far as like portfolio versus uniques one, right, which is like what we used to use, you would use uniques and then you would use ROI instead, you know, using like Portfolio Plus or using uniques one Saber score instead of portfolio, right? Portfolio Plus uses ROI. Portfolio uses Saber score. In the back testing, it showed that portfolio is much better at a couple different things. One, it is better at smoothing out your swings on the high and low ends of variance. You know, DFS is one of the highest forms of, has one of the highest variants of different forms of gambling. So there's like, you know, think about like sports betting, No Limit Texas Hold'em, PLO, DFS cash games. You know, if you're playing GPPs, the variance is a lot higher. So portfolio is very good at smoothing those things out while still maintaining a high ROI. Uniques one ROI is in theory the highest ROI that you can achieve. Now, you would only want to use that if you had an unlimited bankroll, right? Like, hey, if I never ever have to worry about going broke, then yes, I should just play the highest ROI lineups because in the long term, I'm going to make the most money doing that. Now, most people in the DFS industry, 99.9% of people are not at that level of play, right? We haven't won that much money over time to be able to take that approach. So for, you know, 99.9% of users, it is better to use one of the portfolio options because they're going to help you have a good ROI, but be very conscious of bankroll management and wanting you to not have, you know, negative 90% days and, you know, really, really need a win to kind of stay alive. So I would definitely stick with portfolio. All right, next question. I've been using a lot of my own projections as well as some from other providers. Can you talk a little bit about how those changes I'm making to projections affect the sims? Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple different ways they affect them. Number one, any changes to projections you make pre-slate get taken into account in lineup building. So we're just going to go over lineup building first. So when we build lineups, right, we randomly sample each game on the slate. Well, when we do that, right, we might take, say, five sims of each game, and then we play those out. Well, let's say that your projection for a player is 2 points higher than what we have. So in every sim that we just pulled, well, when they score 30, they now score 32. We add your absolute adjustment, high or low, to each sim result. So, hey, they scored 30, they now score 32. When they score 40, they score 42, right? That impacts how many lineups they get into, right? So that's the first part. How many lineups they get built into is the first part where it's accounted for. The second part it's accounted for is if you're using contest sims. So when we run the contest sim, if you have adjusted a player 2 points, that gets included in the contest sim. So where if you used Saber sim projections, maybe you get eighth place in the standings, but with your adjustment, maybe you get sixth place, right? That's going to raise the ROI of lineups with that player in it. So the projections get taken into account lineup building. They get taken into account in lineup grading / contest sims. One important part is that it does not get taken into account. We're using are only using the Saber Sim projections. So you might have graded out really well pre-slate, but maybe you don't grade out so well in the post-contest sims. That can be a result of you using different projections than we're using to grade the lineups. Now, I wouldn't go so far as to say if you are grading out as, you know, negative 20% sim ROI, you can just chalk it all up to the projection adjustments. I think that's like a little too far off, you know, but if the top sim ROIs are say 40% and you're at, you know, 20%, well, I would feel really good about that considering you use different projections and you're still grading out well based on Saber Sims, right? So that's the other thing that you want to be aware of. But if the top sim ROIs are 40% and you're at, you know, zero, chances are there's probably some other things that you can do to improve your process. All right. Follow up. In addition, if I will sometimes make changes to the projections after I run lineups, is that a bad way to impact my ownership to get more or less of a guy? So it's going to depend what sorting metric you're using, right? So like, let's say right now, after the build runs, I adjust Mitchell here, right? Okay, so it's going to reselect lineups here, right? And his exposure goes up. Well, why exactly did his exposure go up? It's because I'm using old Saber score right now. In old Saber score, one of the variables is some projection, right? So adjusting his projection impacted the lineup selection because I am using a metric that involves projection, right? If you were using contest sims and you adjusted his projection, well, nothing would happen unless you reran the contest sim, right? So you got to understand, what are you adjusting? How does it impact the method that you're using to grade your lineups, right? So keep that in mind. The answer is going to be a little bit different. This will obviously not impact the number of lineups this player is in the pool, right? So if you had, say, Pascal Siakam, right? We don't have any of him. His pool percentage is like 12%. Well, maybe you want like a lot of him. You might be better adjusting his projection and then rebuilding just so you get more of him to start with, right? Like, hey, I want to start with more lineups with this player in my pool. So that's like another consideration. If you have a very low pool percentage for a player, it might be better to rebuild. Otherwise, I think it is okay to adjust the projection and then rerun the contest sim, since you said that is what you are using. All right. Next question. Hey, Andrew, can you show how you cut off some of your lineups that most likely won't win any kind of cash? So I think the biggest thing here is if you are on starter, number one, your primary sorting metric is going to be Saber score. If you can, I would avoid negative Saber score lineups. So then what I would do is set a filter here. Say show lineups with Saber score greater than zero, right? I think this is something you can do here. So I set this filter. I apply it to my pool. Now I only have, my pool has went from 548 down to 342. So I've essentially trashed 206 lineups here. The negative Saber score lineups are the ones we want to avoid if possible. So I would do that. When you are using contest sims, we will not use negative ROI lineups in your portfolios, for instance, by default. So I don't think you need to set a filter in that case. But I think the Saber score one you could set. And I think this is a safe filter to use. ROI greater than zero is also a safe filter to use if you really want to use one. So just avoiding those lineups that grade out poorly over the long run is what I would be doing here. So I think a filter like that should work just fine. All right. Again, said thanks. You are welcome here. Gonna circle back to office hours. And looks like we're caught up here, caught up in the YouTube chat. Cool. Awesome. Well, appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye. Oh, wait. One more. All right. We're not leaving. I ain't leaving. If you guys have seen Wolf of Wall Street, you guys might not understand that reference. I left out the curse words on purpose. But anyways, one more for main game. Happy to answer. Can you explain the creation of projections and sim results for PGA? That's when I normally use my own projections for sure. So I wonder if we have any content on this. Let's go over to YouTube real quick. We might have done some model interview for PGA in the past. So I want to see if I can find that if possible, because it's probably worth watching if that is what you are interested in. All right. So we go over to SaberSim YouTube. Let's go to playlists. Okay. PGA DFS. These are mostly Jordan's videos. I don't think there's any modeling here. Let's try this one. No, these aren't model interviews. I don't see any other golf. Oh, there's one more golf. So I don't see any golf videos with our models team specifically. So I'm not sure we have anything that breaks that down. Let's try this real quick. Oh, we found one. All right. So this is a video that you're going to want to check out. To be honest, I'm not really sure why it's kind of hidden in here in this Behind the Sims playlist. So these are two of our data scientists. Eric, Will does not work here anymore, but we miss Will. And he's a big part of the original model here. So I would check this out. This will be a good video. And I will just link it here. So this is the video that you're going to want to look at. This will break down the golf model and should answer a lot of the questions that you have. So that is definitely where I would start for more information on our PGA Sims. Thank you for asking. Yeah, sometimes we can find stuff. All right. Appreciate you guys. I will see you all tomorrow. Until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.